We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
We are going to be in Exodus. Yes, we are. And we are going to finish chapter 21 and half of chapter 22. What? Yeah. That's right. God is still in the miracle-making business. So he still does that. So a couple weeks ago, I had mentioned that we're going to start off with verse 22. I kind of held off on that. There's a little pro-life message in that. And so I wanted to really dig down on that before we begin in verse 28. So we're going to shoot up there to chapter 21 here in verse 22. And we're going to start off with this. It says, if men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly. As a woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. Now, there's a couple of words we have to look at here to truly get an understanding of what's going on. Here we have the Hebrew word child, hare, and it means pregnant, which only makes sense because when you find out you're pregnant, you go, hare. So there's that you need to see. The word birth here in the Hebrew is yaled. It means child. It means offspring from the root word yalad, which means bring forth, to be born. So literally, it's speaking of a child comes forth. Now, we see that when the child is inside of the womb, we call it a fetus. Well, here, if this fetus comes forth, and the fetus is actually called a child, and this fetus comes forth, then this fetus is a child. If any harm follows and the child dies, and that is why we have life for life. That's what goes on in verse 23. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life. Okay? So the child in the womb absolutely has the same value as a human life, because you give life to life. So this fetus is a child, is a human being in God's eyes, and is life. And so if something happened, that child had died, then you would have given life for life. Okay? And so we see here, and we went over this in greater detail in the way of a pro-life message with the sixth commandment. God's word makes it very clear. Life is at conception. So if you weren't here for that and you want to see this pro-life message that we did, it is the second part to the sixth commandment. And we went over this understanding of why, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to be pro-life. And if you're not, you're absolutely living, it's in contradiction to what God's word says. Okay, and so not only does God make it very clear that life begins at conception, but we went over how science itself has come to the conclusion that life begins at conception. And so if you weren't here for that, you need to go back and listen to that. Now the word here prematurely in the Hebrew is yatsah, and it means to go out, come out, go forth. So if men fight and hurt a woman who is pregnant, which causes the child to come forth, to come out, to be born, then here we obviously have, again, is a human being. Now, the new American Standard Bible, I love the it's a great translation. I'm not telling you to get rid of it. I love the New American Standard Bible. Unfortunately, here, they have a wrong translation of yatsah. If you have that Bible, you'll notice instead of prematurely, it says miscarriage. That is absolutely wrong. That is absolutely wrong. Because miscarriage always speaks of death. And yet here, we have nothing to suggest that the child dies. Instead, the child was just born prematurely. If God meant miscarriage, there's another word for that he uses in his word when he's speaking of miscarriage. In Exodus 23:25, it says, "So you shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and your water. I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days." Here is the word miscarriage. It's the Hebrew word shakol, and it means to miscarry, to suffer an abortion, death. It's also used in Hosea 9:14 and Job 21:10. We also see in Job 3:16, "Or was I not hidden like a stillborn child, like infants who never saw light?" That speaks of death. Stillborn in the Hebrew is nephel. It means untimely birth, miscarriage, or abortion. That same word is used in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 3 through 4, as well as Psalm 58:8. So if God wanted to communicate here in Exodus that he's speaking of a miscarriage or a stillborn, he would have used one of those two words. He does not. He uses the word yatsah, which is used 1,061 times in the Old Testament, and every time it is never ever used to translate miscarriage, stillborn, or speak of death. So there's no reason to think that that is happening here in Exodus chapter 21. There's no indication of death of a child here. In verse 22, "If men fight, hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows." The scenario here is that no harm follows, meaning no harm to the child follows. And that's fine. However, the woman is not. She was hurt. That is why she gives birth prematurely. And because of that, she deserves some sort of compensation. And so, because she had to go through that premature birth. "So he shall surely be punished," the man that, you know, hurt the woman, "accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine." So the husband wants some sort of compensation because of what his wife had to go through. They'll bring it to the judges, and they will determine, okay? If there is harm to the child, then guess what? Life for life. But if not, it is going to be eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe, meaning equal justice, and they will determine that. They will determine that. Now, we've gone over the rest of the verses there all the way to verse 28, so we're going to start there. As we continue on here in chapter 21, we had mentioned that we're going over the capital crimes, personal injury, like we just did, and now we're going to go over criminal negligence, okay? Verses 28 through 36 have to do with personal negligence. It might be an accident and everything, but you're still responsible for your beasts of burdens and things like that. And so here in verse 28, it begins, "If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted." Why? Because it was accidental. It was accidental, okay? And so he loses out on the beast of burden, which is a very expensive animal. So he suffers loss that way. You're not allowed to eat it, okay? And yet, you know, at the same time, that ox is killed. And so, but it was accidental, so he doesn't get the death penalty or anything like that. However, verse 29, "But if the ox tended to thrust with its horn in times past," so it's been known to be a dangerous animal, "and it has been made known to his owner, and he has not kept it confined, so that it has killed a man or woman, the ox shall be stoned, its owner also shall be put to death." This speaks of something that happens with us all the time. And it's a sad, sad situation, and it's very, very difficult. We all probably own animals, okay? And we love our animal, and we understand that. But it has proven dangerous in the past. Now, it strikes out and harms a human. But we knew that it was dangerous before. Oh, he's never done that. She's never done that before. I get that. And because of that, now you know. Now what do you do? You're responsible if it ever lashes out again. Now, aren't we glad that this is not in place? Well, for one, hopefully it doesn't lash out to the point where someone dies. Okay. But there comes a time when you have to ask yourself, according to this, human life is more important than your feelings for any animal. And so if you know that your animal is dangerous and it attacks a human being, and Lord willing, it never that human being doesn't die, you have a decision to make. You have a decision to make. Does your feelings for that animal, is that greater than a human life, a human being, or a human being hurt? And those are very, very difficult decisions to make. But the right decision to make is probably need to put that animal down so it does not cause harm to another human being. You didn't know it the first time. Nobody knows it until it happens. But if you don't do that, I challenge you. You care more about that animal than you do about humans. And you care more about those animals than you do about what the Word of God says. Because here it says it's dangerous and you need to put the animal down. And that's difficult. That's a very, very hard, hard situation. David was a little nip. I get that. There's a nip and there's a mauling. Big difference. I get that, you know. But when something viciously bites a child or another human being, it's like, whoa, Dave, he was attacking me. That's different. We get that, you know. But you have to really consider that. God has it in his word. Look, if you know that it's dangerous and then that animal attacks someone else, guess what? You're responsible for that. And it's going to be determined by the judges, you know. And so, again, something to take into consideration. I know every situation is different, but you also know, here's the thing. When you begin to live your life to where you hold God's word higher than how you feel, you're walking with giants. You're walking with the spiritual giants of the faith. Because there's all sorts of things we don't want to do because of how we feel, but we know what God's word says, and we put God's word ahead above how we feel. And the moment you can start walking in that area, you are walking with spiritual giants, and watch out what God can do with your life. Now, in the first case, there's been no prior indication that the animal is dangerous, and because of that, the owner's not held responsible. In the second case, the owner was notified. You did know, and that the animal was dangerous, and you did not take the proper precautions to pen up the animal properly, and because of that, it got out and has killed someone. And so again, because of that negligence, you now are required to pay life for life, and you are being required to die. Because of that, the law in the society is to show that individuals are not allowed to behave irresponsibly. You're not allowed to be careless. And we are responsible for our actions and inactions. And we are responsible for all of these things. If something is supposed to be done and we do not do it, we're responsible. And we're negligent for not carrying that out. So, verse 30, if there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life whatever is imposed. So, according to the second case, if, however, the family member of the person who died, if their family chooses instead restitution instead of retribution, we're willing for him not to die so long as they pay us a certain amount of money. Okay, that's going to be determined by the judges as well. And so rather than demand the death penalty, they could demand a ransom. It's known as blood money, and they could take it to the judges, and the judges would decide what that amount would be. Okay? So they do have that opportunity to do that. In verse 31, it says, whether it has gored a son or gored a daughter, according to this judgment, it shall be done to him. So again, case 1 and 2, doesn't matter if it was a son or daughter. You know, life is still life. And so just because it happened to an 8-year-old instead of someone who they might in their mind think is more value adult because of what they're worth in society, no. It applies to kids as well. Okay, whether it's an adult or kid, same thing. First case, second case scenario works with them as well. Okay, verse 32, if an ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. I can't tell you how many commentaries that I read that don't seem to take in the first and second case here and basically say, well, not exactly sure, but it does kind of look like a slave is worth less than a free person, and because of that, they only have to pay up 30 shekels of silver. Not true, okay? It's all based on what was said in verse 29 and 30, okay? 28, 29, and 30. That is the foundation of verse 31. It's the foundation of verse 32. So in the first case, if an ox is killed, in the first case, if it was accidental and a slave is killed by an ox, the owner is acquitted because it was an accident. It was an accident. He doesn't have to pay anything, except he has to pay the master 30 shekels of silver. Why? Because that is what the master has at least paid for that servant to get them out of indentured servitude. Okay? So he lost out on a working commodity, and so he needs to be reimbursed by that. Dave, what about the family? Well, that family had already got money from that master, okay, for that indentured servitude, for that servant, all right? Now, in the second case, the ox is killed. Life for life, the owner is killed. Retribution or redeemed with ransom money, judge decide. But the master of the slave gets 30 shekels of silver. In other words, if this ox had gored someone before or proved dangerous, kills his slave, well, the family of the slave now can go and demand life for life or ransom. Thus, the life of the slave and the life of the free person is the same. But the master in both cases still gets 30 shekels of silver as well. Okay? He still gets 30 shekels of silver from the guy who owned the ox that killed. And so I want to make this very clear that the free person and the slave are still treated equal when something happens to the slave. Interesting how 30 shekels of silver is given for the slave. How much did Judas betray Jesus for? 30 shekels of silver. So basically saw him as a slave, as the value of a slave. Going to verse 33. If a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owners, but the dead animal shall be his. Dude, what are you doing making an open pit? Stop. Stop digging open pits. We won't have this problem. If one man's ox hurts another so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox to divide the money from it. The dead ox they shall also divide. Or if it was known that the ox tended to thrust in times past and its owner was not kept it confined, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall be his own. So, your ox kills the other ox. It hasn't ever happened before, whatever. Okay, then what we do is we sell the live ox, okay? We sell the dead ox, and whatever proceeds we get, we just divide it by two, okay? Walk away. Everything's good, All right. But if you knew that your ox was dangerous and was next to another man's ox and it kills it, well, guess what? You're going to have to sell it, and it's ox for ox. All right? You're going to have to pay for that ox. Basically, all these things are saying, you break it, you buy it. Okay? And to do the right thing in society, do the right... Well, I didn't mean to. It doesn't matter if you meant to. It happened. And because of your carelessness, your negligence, you have to pay. That's the way it is. Now, when we look at these laws, we have to understand that the law reflects the lawgiver. So these things say something about the Lord. He does care about fairness. He does care about justice. He does. Here in chapter 22, we're going to see what God's justice demands. We're going to see that justice demands three things, as we've been seeing this, but we're really going to see it here when it comes to theft. It maintains justice in the land, it grants compensation to victims, and it teaches thieves that crime not only does not pay, it will force you to suffer loss. And so here in verse 1 of chapter 22, do I need to slow down for anyone? I know I'm going at a really fast pace right now. Not seen here at Calvary before, as we're entering into chapter 22. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox, 4 sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he's struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He shall make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it is an ox or a donkey or sheep, he shall restore double. Now again, like I went over on the 8th commandment, you shall not steal. This speaks of being able to own property. The Bible makes it very clear that as individuals, we can own things. We can own property. If not, then no one can ever steal from you, because then nobody owns anything. But by the very definition of you shall not steal, it means that it's because people can own things and they can own property. Okay, they can own property. So God makes a difference here in verse 1 and 4. He makes a difference between stolen animals that were killed and sold, and stolen animals that were still in the possession of the thief. If the thief had sold or killed the ox, then guess what? They have to restore either 5-1 or 4-1, okay? But if the stolen property was still in the thief's possession, according to verse 4, then you repay 2-for-1. You give him back his ox, and you give him another ox. You give him back his sheep, you give him another sheep, okay? And notice that God, the lawgiver, is revealing something about himself here. God recognizes you have been violated. And when you're a victim of theft, as a victim, you should be compensated for it. You should be able to get not only your stuff back, but at least twofold. Now, going back up here to verse 2. If a thief is found breaking in, and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. And there's a reason for that. Because you do not know what it is that he is doing. You don't know if he is going to harm your family. It's at night. You see him. You don't know what's going on. And so to strike him, guess what? You're not guilty of that blood. But if the thief is found breaking in, and if the sun has risen on him, meaning you can see clearly, then there shall be guilt. You see that he's stealing something. You see that he's grabbing your ox and trying to run off your property. That's no reason to kill him, all right? And so if you do that, then yes, you're going to be guilty for his bloodshed.
That's it for another edition of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. If you've missed any of these teachings and would like to catch up, you can download our free mobile app. it's a great way to take any of Pastor Dave's teachings with you wherever you go. All you have to do is go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and search for Calvary Castle Rock. Once you've installed the app, open it up and click on Teachings, and then go to On the Radio. There you can listen to today's segment or any of the previous segments by broadcast date. You can also subscribe to our radio audio podcast. If you want to learn more about our ministry, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. That's calvarycr.com. As always, thanks again for listening in today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.